He has his own podcast. What is it, y'all? Get my shit together.
Welcome to the Getting My Act Together podcast for Friday, November 17, 2023. LNC, where are you? I hope you are well. I realized I was cleaning out a mailbox and I have a long email from you dated back in July, right around the time of my departure from Atlanta. I didn't address it on the podcast. I don't think I will do it today, but I will do it. Maybe I'll do it on the Tuesday podcast before Thanksgiving because I'm thankful for your support and involvement in my stand-up comedy career. Two things. I realized I have not heard from you. The podcast probably wonders what is going on with that fine woman. Is she still working those, working in the hospital? Is she still doing that 45-minute commute? What is happening in her life more broadly? People are pulling for you. And I know that dawned on me. I hadn't heard from you. And then I somehow or another missed your email in the or did not attend properly to your email in the Gmail account for the podcast, etc. yesjoesmith@gmail.com. And I will read it. I'll read it on Tuesday. I will read it and discuss it on Tuesday. But I would love to know that you're well. I'd love to know that you're doing your thing. Okay. Like I said, the freighted expectation of I hope everyone's doing well. That's a generic expression. Which of course I sincerely mean, but when I say I hope you're well, that doesn't mean anyone has to come to the podcast with wellness. You can be in a shitty, dark place, and I'm glad you're here. That's what I'm saying. I'm glad you're here. So would love to know that you are, I'd love to know that you're still listening to the podcast, but that, you're pushing through. You're persisting in this endeavor called life where my wife was telling me about a podcast she listened to about someone around happiness and in the face of a lot of darkness. And I think there are schools of thought around we have to accept, and I'm not going to do someone else's podcast, but I was half listening to my wife when she was telling me this, in part because my wife is not working a whole lot. By design, and so she has a lot of time to listen to podcasts and tell me about them. And I didn't really ask. So she tells me because we don't have any friends out. We don't have any friends. So this is the combination. We don't have any friends. We only have each other. We spend a lot of time around each other, which is great. Can you imagine if we didn't like each other? What a fucking disaster this would be. We don't have any friends. My San Diego stand-up comedy career is non-existent. It's barely has a heartbeat. That's how bad it is. I'm undaunted. I'm pushing straight ahead. I'm gonna figure it out. Still, don't have any friends. My stand-up comedy career in San Diego has barely a heartbeat, but it's flickering. It's flickering. And my wife is listening to a lot of podcasts and has no one to tell about them, so she tells me. Which, as a supportive spouse, I'm happy to be an audience. But she also tells me a lot of things about people that I don't know, will never know, and find myself challenged to emotionally invest in their well-being in a 90-second conversation of her relaying a podcast to me. It's something, you know what, that you heard it just flow out. My wife tells me about a lot of podcasts that I sometimes feel like, you know, if I were that interested, it's one of those things with someone you love or a friend you care about. You're interested in their life. What happens to them? Right? So it's like, I don't want to hear what you have to say, but I would love to hear about you. I don't really want to hear about somebody else. You know what I mean? You want to hear your friend, your loved one, your person you care about, what they have to say, right? That's being a good friend. I'm interested in what you have to say. I value you and want you to share your perspective with me. It's different to say, tell me about some fucking people I don't know. Do you know what Do you know what I mean? Does anybody feel that way? Am I crazy? No. If I feel it, other people feel it. So there are times where she's telling me about a podcast and I have the thought percolating, you know, if I were as interested in this shit as you are, I probably would have gone and listened to the podcast. In any case, I love my wife dearly. I'm grateful that she shares with me. She doesn't listen to this podcast, I know, because she's so quick to tell people, you know, hey, do you listen to the podcast? And she's like, I don't listen to it. I hear enough of his nonsense 24/7. The father of my child, she says. In any case, my wife was telling me about some podcast about happiness or something she was listening to, these scientists. And the takeaway, I was listening with half of one ear to what she was saying because it wasn't about her. It was about some other shit. And the takeaway for me is the world is and I guess some religions or schools of thought are oriented around this idea that it's a pretty rough, terrible existence. And if you dwell on it too much, it will pull you down into it. Obviously, we know that. But a healthy way of configuring your mental journey in the world is to take a shorter, momentary, let's find opportunities for positivity and optimism. Let's seize kind of short term. I don't mean like, you know, sticking a needle in your arm or seeking light in shorter intervals, momentary bursts of positivity and optimism with an understanding that life is not supposed to be. I guess that's managing expectations. You know what I'll do? I will ask her what the fucking, pardon me. I will ask her about what the podcast is and I will refer you to it. And you know what I'll do? Maybe I'll listen to it first. How about that? I'll listen to my wife's podcast that she does not do, but she heard some scientists talking about happiness. And before I just recklessly convey something I was barely half listening to. The idea is that as I understood it, I'm going to put this on my list of things to do over the weekend is I will listen to that podcast and I will give you a better interpretation of what it was, a better conveyance of, well, that's not the right word. I'll listen to the podcast and tell you what it said, but I think the idea is you're not supposed to manage your expectations with life. It shouldn't, you shouldn't think of it as ice cream cones 24/7 and nothing but joy, happiness, and optimism. I don't think, because if you can read and you can see what's happening in the world, you realize it's a pretty dark, bleak places. And I guess, you know what I'll do? I'll just listen to it, because you obviously shouldn't put your head in the sand. I don't think that's what they're talking about. In any case, my comedy career in San Diego, I'll find out from her, is in the trash, by the way. I listened to a set the other night. It was at Barrio X Logan, Barrio X Brewing, my favorite place to do stand-up comedy. And I actually closed by saying, okay, well, thank you very much. I appreciate you all looking around to see if you could laugh at that joke. You should know what's in your heart, you fucking pussies. Have a good night. And then they somehow applauded. I had a fun time and a good set at Barrio X Brewing on Monday night. But, you know, there are some topics you talk about and people look around like, should we laugh if this is okay? And like I said to you before, if you're doing that, I think it means you don't know what you think about it. I've done it too across my life. Should I be laughing at this? Are these people going to be offended? And I've looked around to see if... It just means you're not exactly sure what you feel about that. And that's okay. It's just odd in the moment to be computing a response to, I don't know what it is, maybe you've never thought about it. In any case, that might be the new... You know what I'll do? I'll put it on the... If you stick around to the end of the podcast, I'll just put it right on the end of today's podcast. So you'll have Brent's introduction, which you've already heard. What's the name of your podcast? Getting My Shit Together. Then you'll hear me talking, And then at the very end, I will put up the thing I said to the crowd the other night, and they clapped. It's just strange. And then, comedically, I had a show scheduled. You know, I did a show on Saturday night that was, you know, was what it was. And then that same person, the same host, producer, showrunner, he was nice enough to have me on a show Wednesday, so 2 days ago, in Little Italy, which is in downtown San Diego. And I, it was a cold, wet, believe it or not, it was like a cold, wet Tuesday night in Stoke. It was a cold, wet, dark San Diego evening. My daughter and I were at soccer practice until about 5:15 with her beloved coach Fallon, the most enthusiastic, positive woman in the world, who I hope doesn't just go back to her apartment and sit there and turn the light on and off in depression. She seems super happy and exuberant, and I hope she's like that most of the time. Soccer was cold, wet, dark. We moved home with some pace because when we get home, we have to walk the dogs, and then we have to have dinner. And you know what? Dada's got, and then I have to give her a shower. Dada's got to keep it moving because Dada has a show that he has to get back downtown to because her soccer practice was right near where the show was, 5 minutes away. I'm going to be, by the time I get back in my car, 15 minutes away from where the show was. In any case, we're moving the night along, the evening along. We get home. Dada's got to get ready while we wrap up dinner. It's not all about Dada. It's actually very little about Dada around here, around these parts. As it should be. Who gives a shit about me? I'm just saying, my mind was, I got to keep things moving because I have to go down to Little Italy to do my spot where I was first on the lineup. That's bold, I would say. Or maybe he saw me there tonight and he's like, he's not going to torpedo the show. Because you need someone decent to go first. Otherwise, the show is going to just flatline from the drop. But I was going first. I was doing 12 minutes of stand-up comedy going first at a show in Little Italy. So I kind of keep the evening moving along. I shave. I shower with my daughter. We prepare our bodies. She gets a nightgown on. I get some jeans. By 6:45 or so, around usual book time's usually closer to 7, the showrunner had requested that people on the show get there between 7 and 7:15. And, you know, even though it's kind of silly that people ask you to be there early, in my estimation, they just are, you know, want to make sure the show is going to be the show. And I get it. I've never, running Limerick, I never asked anybody to be at the show by a certain time. I just put up the times when I thought they'd go up, and lo and behold, everybody showed up except the people who fucking didn't. Some people like to say, hey, be at the club 45 minutes before the show starts, whatever. I'm trying to be respectful of the guy running the show. I'm new in town. I don't want to have, repeats of, I'm making such a terrible impression. Remember at the beginning, the very first mic I went to, I told them all to fuck off. And then the other night, I, like a moron, ran the light and got played off at the Comedy Store. And here I am at Barrio X telling, these are treacherous times. So I want to make sure that I make a good impression, at least with this guy who runs shows. I had a fine set on Saturday night, and then I'm going to make sure that I'm there close to around the time. He said he wanted people there at 7, between 7 and 7:15. I was going to try to get there by 7:20. You know what I mean? Only because I have a kid that I value highly and want to make sure I can at least read one story about Clifford the Big Red Dog and Emily Elizabeth, who I saw is culturally appropriating some Sikh headwear in one of the episodes. So I'm going to have Emily Elizabeth and Clifford canceled. 6:45 or so, Wednesday night, cold, wet. daughter moving toward bed. I hand her off, around 10 till, 5 till. I'm like, say to my wife, she's ready. All she needs to do is brush those teeth, brush that tangled mop of hair, and put her in. Read her some books. Anyway, I took off and I went down to the Little Italy, where it was still bitterly cold and wet in San Diego. The marine layer came in. It rained. Rained for like 12 hours on Wednesday night. Who cares? It rains in Atlanta all the time. Rains lots of places. It never rains in California. Well, it did that night. I got down there. Little Italy, the guy in the group Facebook message was like, parking can be a challenge. Do this and that. I'm from city, okay? I'm from city. I know how to park. I found a spot. It was great. I walked into the place where it was not a comedy club. Let's be very clear about that. I walked into a place where I was going to do stand-up comedy at 7:18. I thought that was a nice compromise between my wanting to go in at 7:20 and him wanting us there at 7 o'clock. I walked inside and there was, it looks like a restaurant or a winery or a brewery, or it's not a comedy club, but there's like, I don't perform in stand-up comedy clubs anymore. That's the reality of it. I cannot delude myself. My lack of opportunity to get on stage and express myself for a thirsty audience has gotten so bad that I've taken to playing guitar a fair amount, all right? You know what I mean? Like, that's how bad, like, I have good calluses on my hands from playing the guitar on a Tuesday night or coming home from Barrio X and watching that dumb, I'm about to say it's a dumb show, Yellowstone. Anyway, that's where I am. I'm playing guitar. And like I said, nobody wants that. I walk into the place. It says, I don't remember the sign. It's something around, please wait to be seated, right? It's not like, hey, come on in and find your way through. But it looked like there's going to be maybe something in the back, because in the front ante room, I guess you'd call it, there was going to be no stand-up comedy. It also, again, was super brightly lighted, like a hospital. I'm like, there can't do comedy in here. And then I was like, well, on Saturday night, I was in a place that was like a hospital. Showrunners, not anyone out here, just anyone. If you ever, there should be light on the stage and then the crowd should be in the dark. Barrio X sometimes does it the opposite, where the performer is in the darkness and the crowd is in the light. But generally speaking, lighting is very important in a comedy show. So I was thinking, all right, there's going to be, this is not, front room is not where comedy is happening. And it says, please wait to be seated or something like that, which gives you a pause when you walk in the door, which I did. And some nice young man came around the corner, came around the bar, whatever, and said, hi, how many? And I said, no, I'm here for the comedy show. And he said, oh, they didn't tell you? Now, there are times in my life where perhaps in a spurt of petulance, what a wanker talk like that, a spurt of petulance. I would hear him say, oh, they didn't tell you, and just turn around and walk away as if I was an ATM machine that just told me I didn't have any money in it. It's not a human. It's only a bad news. See you later. I'm not going to go sulk and like, fuck this. Just, okay, dead to me. It's all gone. Goodbye. And just leave. Not, again, not like, how come nobody... Just lades. This is, as soon as he said that, that was my thought. Like, I could just spin on my heel and bounce. Oh, that's all he said. Oh, they didn't tell you? Where did you get your ticket? And by the way, the show is free, as every comedy show in San Diego seems to be. Where did you get your ticket? The ticket means you just make a reservation and tell them you're coming, I guess. I don't understand exactly. You reserve a seat, maybe? I don't know. I said, oh no, I actually am one of the comics, or I'm a comic. And then there is a poster for the show 2 feet to our my right, his left, on the bar with my picture on it. I said, "I'm a comic." I pointed to the thing. And he said, "Oh, I'm so sorry. The show's been canceled." And I can see him. He's a nice guy. He was sincere. He wasn't like, "Show's canceled. I'm fucking going back to washing dishes," or, you know, whatever. Scrolling on Instagram, whatever he was doing. He was just like, "Oh, yeah, sorry. The show's canceled." But I could see him in his head. Like I said, he's a nice guy. He's like, "Why didn't anybody tell this fucking guy the show was canceled?" You know, which is curious. He must have seen it me. I was thinking the same exact thing. Because then I looked at my the group. I only have one person's phone number out here, Birunji. Nobody else I have phone number. So the group chat or group text was in Facebook, or at least the one I was on. There might have been one happening somewhere else on an actual phone, but I wasn't part of that. So I was like, "Oh, yeah, no, all good," meaning all good with him, no worries. And he's like, "Yeah, sorry, dude." He goes, "Can I get you a glass of wine for coming over?" And which was, you know, this is bar call. This is I don't know what this is. I was gonna try to make some big point about nobody gives away booze in bars anymore, but this is not really a bar. It's like a restaurant or winery or something. And I said, "No, I thought about it. It sounded good, but like my teeth are still brushed. You know what I mean? Like I brushed my teeth for this show. I didn't have a glass of wine at home because I was going to do your show because I wanted to fucking put my foot in it and continue to have you book me on your shows, and then, you know, somebody else will see me and they'll put me on something else." And I'm like starting comedy from 0.0. And my life is dramatically different than when I started comedy and I didn't have kids and I could go spend time hanging around comedy clubs, waiting for spots, kind of just being present and put on shit. I can't do that now. And I don't have, I'm at 0.0. So I need this spot, dude. And the guy offered me the wine, and I was like, I left home so recently that I could just go back and plug right back in. And to sit and have a glass of wine, which is one of my favorite things to do, but doing it by myself among strangers, among no one I know in a place I've never been, while my family is happening, you know, 12 minutes away, I'm gonna go do that. And my teeth are brushed too. That's important. If I didn't feel like I had fresh breath, then maybe I'll have a little. I said, "No, thanks, man." And I walked out of the place. He said the show was canceled. Sorry, I should have added. The show was canceled because of weather. That's where my comedy career is. I'm optimistic. I know there's death and destruction happening across the globe as we speak. And it still really feels like one team continues to run up the score way after the game, the outcome has been decided. And I do believe the fucking outcome has been decided. You are who you are in the world, that state. You're going to take people's shots. That's, I think, part and parcel. You're not going to ever live in a world where people aren't going to be fucking gunning for you. I think you are in a place that is very important to a lot of people, and you've decided it's yours. I don't know that perfectly, but that's my read of the situation. And I don't think you're on the right side. The sides are complex, but this, it feels really like the score is being run up unnecessarily. That's what it feels like. So I trust there's horrific shit happening around the world. There's horrific shit happening in our country. This fentanyl, I say this not even as a parent, the fentanyl is out of control. The homelessness, the economic inequality in this country, is coming home to roost, okay? And it's not red, blue. It's all because of corporations, okay? I know this. I know where the not so blind spots are in this country. I know police are still fucking killing black people. I know this, all right? Well, great, dude. Why don't you become a sophomore in college? I'm still staying positive about stand-up comedy. I'm staying positive and I'm optimistic that more will come. I can make more come. I can play fucking guitar. I really wanted to do this spot on Wednesday and keep going is the point I'm making here. And like I said, in a different universe, I could have walked outside and sent a message to the Facebook group saying, what the fuck, there's no show? I could have done that, but that's not really my MO either. Because you know what? As much as I wanted to do that spot and I wanted to tell these jokes that I'd... You know what you do when you talk through someone's set or you deny someone the ability to tell their jokes on stage? You take away so much. You take away all the experience they had in generating that material, whether something that happened to them, a great sort of epiphany thought, an epiphanic, is that a word? Thought that they had, the time they took to put that experience and that thought into a format that is digestible, not only digestible, recognizable and digestible to you, the audience. And then they worked it out at places like Barrio X Brewing, which is the best place to do stand-up comedy in San Diego, California on a Monday night. You know, the people have left their shitty apartments to go out into the cold and the wet to try to read, to present, to gauge your reaction to the material. And they get these things and they have these little kernels in them. They're kind of, there's a format to stand-up comedy. It's different. Being very funny and being a good stand-up are two different things. There are tons of funny people who would not be good stand-up. You have to learn how to be a good stand-up. All those things go into, they precede the presentation of material to an audience. And so that's why comics fucking hate when you talk through their set. Or you heckle. Unless you're just up for a sword fight, which... You know, I don't mind. Oh, yeah. I will make a note to put that Barry Logan. I want to tell these jokes is the point. But I'm also, and I also, when I go to the group text, I'm not going to destroy the relationship right out of the box. Say, what the fuck, dude? Nobody's here. I just sent back. I sent, hey, just FYI, the dude at the place said there's no show tonight. And I looked, and I sent that before anybody else. And by the way, I sent it at 7:22. The show was supposed to start at 7:30. So I'm notifying the group that there was no show 8 minutes before it was set to start. However, I also can stand in a room, particularly at this front room, where the guy's like, hey, sorry, man. And see that I'm the only comic. I know what comics look like. I know what their energy is like. I know what my flock is like, right? I'm standing in that front room. None of these people are comics. There are other people around, but they're not comics. That's clear. So what I presume happened is somewhere along the line, the showrunner knew that the show was not happening because of the weather. That's, I want to underline, that's where my stand-up comedy career is. I'm having my shows canceled because of the weather. I mean, it's not like there's 6 feet of snow. No one can get to Zany's Rosemont. There's 10 feet of snow. Nobody can get into the Comedy Cellar. I'm doing shows where if it rains, you know what I mean? Like the internet should work even if it rains, right? You should have Wi-Fi even if it rains. You should be able to have a comedy show even if it rains. I get that shit happens outside. You know, some people put on shows and And if I were further along in my comedy career in San Diego, which now means my comedy career period, I would not be doing shows that are dependent on sun is shining, the weather is sweet, make you want to move. Robert Nesta Marley, whose dad was white. Can you believe that? That's where I am. Shows being canceled because of the weather. I just sent back a text on my... I only have Facebook Messenger on my phone for these occasions. So what I did is I sent a message saying, hey, just FYI, dude told me the show's canceled. But everybody must have known. I don't know because I deleted Facebook Messenger off my phone, maybe in a touch of petulance, right after that happened. So I don't know if anybody ever got back to me or there's like, oh yeah, man. So I have no idea what happened with that, and whatever. It's not the end of the world. But that was my set on Wednesday that I'd been looking forward to. But the good news is I was able to race home on Wednesday night and plug right back in. My teeth were still too fresh. My breath was too fresh to have a glass of wine immediately when I walked in the door. Just like it was, I didn't want to have one in Little Italy. But I had already told the family. I said, I'm going up first, so I could be back very soon. And because I'm not going to stay for the whole show. It's just not what I'm going to do. Some people think you should. Other people think you shouldn't. Depends on the day. It's like giving money to a homeless person or whatever I was talking about the other day. It depends on the day. And some days I'll stay. It depends who's on the lineup. Depends how good the show is. Depends if you have to stay and get your money. Not sure that there was any money involved. There was no money from last Saturday night either. So maybe he was going to pay me for both. I don't know what's happening. But I told them I was going to come right home as soon as my spot was over, and there was a good chance my daughter would still be awake when I got home. As it turned out, they were still reading books when I got home. That's how quickly I turned it around. So I was able to jump in, read a few pages of Clifford, and pick up the guitar, I guess. It's cathartic to talk about it. But nothing happened. You know what I mean? I didn't make any progress. I learned that the Comedy Store does not do drop spots on Tuesday night, which means drop spots like you go to the club, you know, you put in your sort of face equity, you hang out. And you say, can you put me on the list in case someone drops, in case someone doesn't show up? And they said, we don't do that. Okay. Also, I noticed they're quite vigilant. Now, I have a perspective. They're quite vigilant at the Comedy Store about people recording other people's sets. Like, if someone pulls out a phone and like tries to take a picture or record the performer on stage, they very swiftly and kind of emphatically go over and what looks to me makes the person stop recording, or stop taking the picture, and then it looks like they're it's not just like, hey, no recording. It then looks like in what is a bit of an extended conversation, make them delete what they were recording, and then it kind of looks like the person stands over them to make sure they deleted them, and maybe delete them from some further place, which is their right. It's their club. They can do whatever they want, obviously. What strikes me, though, is it's clear the examples I saw on Tuesday night are clearly, or one was the one that I saw, a woman just recording like her husband or her friend who probably was trying stand-up comedy for the first time. I don't know their policy, and you know, people filming you is annoying and they shouldn't do it. I understand, however, if, you know, it's an open micer and, you know, my God, John finally worked up the courage after all these years of not sexually satisfying me to get on stage. But it looks like quite the no-no there. I guess what I'm saying is it seems different to me telling someone to not record their open mic husband versus, you know, not recording Kirk Fox, who would be playing there on a weekend or something like that. If you go to see a comedy show, you should not be recording anything. That's what I'm saying. I know that. If you go see a comedy show, you should not fucking have your phone out recording anything. That's just not what happens. However, if you go to an open mic, which is different than a comedy show, I want to be clear about that also. It seems like a stringent application of the former to the latter. But who knows what's happened there that has caused them to have that policy. It's just something I noticed. In my hypothetical comedy club in my head, don't ever pull your phone out to record a performer you went to see, a la Kirk Fox, but you can record your friends and family doing stand-up comedy for the first or only time. That's my fantasy comedy club. I have calluses on my fingers now from playing the guitar. That's how stifled I am in doing stand-up comedy. Now my calluses are in great shape. I can play. I can play. And you know what? I'm writing and interpreting and playing songs that I've written. So it's not like I'm just, you know, I'm not. With respect to all my middle-aged peers who have their guitars, they go and play in the garage, you know, because they're at that point in their lives. I've written a bunch of songs. So it's, I don't know, what am I saying? I'm no different from anybody else is what I'm saying. I have a song that I've written that sounds really good that is online. You can find it online. And I want someone famous to cover it and send me a big check for doing so. And if you want to hear it, you would find it at, the song is called Lonely Arizona. It's a long name. How would you find it? You'd search for Joe Smith and the Going Concern Bandcamp. You would go there, and the recording quality of those songs that are at that place are of varying levels of quality. But the song I think that sounds the best is called Lonely Arizona Cold Sundown Blues. That was like when I think we got it right. I think we also, whatever. I'm not going to. That song, if you know any, if you know Morgan Wallen, did he say the N-word like in rage, or is he saying it like, how did he say it is what I wanted to know. I'm never going to listen to the clip. I did think him getting in trouble several years ago for saying the N-word represented progress, because if it was news that someone in Nashville used that word, I think is a good sign, because, you know, it is in the middle of Tennessee. Lonely Arizona Cold Sundown Blues. I would like that to be covered by, I think there's a narrative in there. I think it sounds good. If you know Led Zeppelin, that is a song. Anyway, my calluses are strong because comedy is not. But undaunted, I push forward. You know what shows I have tonight, Friday night, and tomorrow, Saturday night in San Diego? None. But you know where I'll be on Monday night working on material? Barrio X Brewing in Barrio Logan. Si barrio, yonkes no. Si barrio, yonkes no. Or si barrio, no yonke. Si barrio, yonkes no. No junkyards down there. This is a neighborhood, dude. What are we talking about? You already slammed the freeway right through this wonderful, rich, vibrant neighborhood. Anyway, thank you for listening to this. If you know someone, I don't know, one of those big Nashville guys who wants to cover lonely Arizona cold sundown blues, have them get in touch. Otherwise, thank you for your support of the podcast. And LNC, I hope you are still part of the universe. 15, I appreciate you as ever leaving reviews. And I'll put that little snippet of what happened, how I closed the other night. Here's me closing at Barrio X Brewing.
Hey, all right, I appreciate everybody looking around to see if they can laugh at that joke. You should know it's in your heart, you fucking pussies. Have a great night.
Thanks, dude.